Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged and excited that you have joined us in the Extra Hour. Word that just came from Rick Joyner with Morningstar Ministries. He was talking about the high calling of the true commitment to Christ. This is what he says. Commitment, loyalty, and faithfulness are all prerequisites for authority in any realm, and they are required for authority in the kingdom of God. Only those whose commitment to the kingdom is greater than their commitment to this world will be trusted with kingdom authority over this world. True commitment is more than an emotion or a promise. It is demonstrated by how we conduct our lives. Could we say that we are devoted more to the kingdom than to this world? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, test yourself to see if you're in the faith. He goes on to say, he says, there are evaluations, there are evaluations, like the following, that we should regularly ask ourselves. Is Christ our first love? Think about that. Is he your first love? Is our love for him growing? Is it getting stronger? Are we growing in the knowledge of his ways? Are we controlled by our love for him, making all our major decisions based on the interests of the kingdom and not our own desires? Is there anything in our lives that could be an idol, characterized by us not being willing to give it up if required to do so for a service? Are we living the life of a disciple, seeking above all things to know our master, to be like him, and to do his will? He goes on to say this. He says, there is no greater affront to a relationship than indifference. And if you were to describe the American church, this would be outside of his word. If you were to describe the American church right now, it would just be indifference. And he says, there's no greater affront to a relationship than indifference. This is why the Lord said that he would rather us be hot or cold, but the lukewarm he will spew out of his mouth. I mean, you can see that in Revelations 3, 15 through 16. How could anyone truly know God Almighty, the all-consuming fire, and not be on fire for him? Would anyone choose to serve a king, keep their job long, if they were not devoted to the highest standards of excellence? How could we, who have been chosen to serve the King of Kings, be lackadaisical about our service to him? We should have the highest devotion to him because of who he is. We should then have the highest devotion to him because of all he has done for us. If these do not compel us, then we should have the highest standards of devotion for him because of the abundant biblical warning about the consequences of those who treat him casually. We are entering, this is important, this is why I wanted to share it. We are entering the times when no one will make it. This is Rick Joyner's prophetic word. We're entering into times when no one will make it who has not built their house solidly on the rock. Let me say it again, capital R rock, Jesus. We are entering into the times when no one will make it who has not built their house solidly on the rock. Truly, truly, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and It is a foundation that true wisdom will be built on. But we do need to build. We do need to build on it and build on the love he has for us. We deserve. He deserves much better than we're offering him.
Mm-hmm.
He deserves a bride that is so in love with him that the primary devotion of our lives is being ready for him.
Mm.
He will have such a bride. We will be a part of this ultimate purpose. Will you be a part of this ultimate purpose? Will you give yourself or ourselves to this high calling of God in Christ Jesus? That so bears witness with me.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're talking to you continually about abiding. This is not a concept. Mm-hmm. We're saying we want you to make it.
That's right.
We want you to make it. But times are coming. When he made the statement in this prophetic word, when he said that that there's coming a time that those who we are entering, this is what he says, we are entering the times when no one will make it. Now, if you think about that, that means no one. No one will make it who has not built their house solidly on the rock. You know, we've had people, you know, look at us like we're crazy. And we're talking about, listen, you need to know Jesus.
Right.
You need to know him. You need to hear his voice. Nah, I don't need to hear his voice. I'm just showing up. I was just speaking to a pastor in Texas, and they were saying things like, somebody was talking, hey, you know, I'm looking for a church, you know, which is totally outside of the realm of what we talk about all the time. But he was looking for a place that he can actually socialize and find a few people to hang out with. That's not the church. The church is the body of Christ. We are a loyal bride of Christ going after God. That's who we are.
Right.
We're not. There is no other form of us. You know, there's only one church, one God, one Lord, one Spirit, and we're called to be one body. Although we're many parts of us, we're just one. We're just one.
Right.
And it would be so cool. It would be so cool to have. You go to VFN TV now and watch the prophetic words, why it's still futuristic to you, because in a few moments, it's going to be history.
Right.
And you can be on the right side of history. You might not be able to change it. I don't know if there's enough time to change. I don't know. I don't feel like we're going to have to go through some stuff.
Yeah.
But you can be, think about it. Wouldn't it be cool for you to be on the right side of history, God's side of history, and say, you know what? I don't care where the masses are going right now. I don't care. I'm going to help them try to go the right way. But personally, I got to get my life right.
Mm-hmm.
I got to start with me in my own personal Jerusalem. I got to quit acting religious and find God.
That's right.
Yeah. It's already happening. And we're getting so many reports. Just last night, someone told me they shared the VFN torch with someone down in South Florida. And they went to VFNTV.com and they were listening to all the prophetic messages. I was told that the young lady that was listening to these messages literally got up and said, grabbed their mom and says, sit down. You've got to listen to this.
That's what's so important, John, is that, you know, those that are listening to us understand that God does nothing unless he shares it with us first.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, I think he shares it with everybody, but few people listen. And thank God for the few people that listen, because if we didn't listen, he allows us to go listen to the ones who listen so we can hear what we missed. And understand this, that God has let us know what to do. And you can find out, things such as the Elijah storm, you know, is America under God's judgment? And you got to find out and understand if it is, and you can listen to that and you can determine for yourself based on the word of God. God's looking for something. There's something he's looking for. You know, if somebody comes in to rob your house, for example, and you're thinking, oh, I don't know, here's my house. And it's like, if you would have just waited and asked them what they wanted, they may would have said they just want some food. They may have said they wanted your money and not anything else. Mm-hmm. But, you know, and so often because we misunderstand God's discipline, that people are going, it's all over. It's all, well, no, it's going to feel like it's over, but it's not over.
That's right.
You know, what is God looking for? Mm-hmm. And God is looking for us to repent. If you haven't yet gone on your VFN TV app or on the VFN Torch and the highlights to see, you know, what does repentance look like? It's not what people said it is. You know, we were talking recently about, I think it was last Friday, about a lying spirit. And we have to find out what a lie is, because we're called to move in the truth. And it's just eye-opening that there's been so many lies told that you got to be careful that you're not operating in partially the lie that's being told in the land.
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay when a church turns their back on God. It's not a different version. God has not changed. And it's not okay for whatever we're doing with the church if we're not introducing people to his voices. And it's not okay to invite wolves in intentionally, mind you, and set them in the flock in hopes that they would find God while they devour God's body, while they devour his offspring.
Mm-hmm.
And we win them and then bring them in. And all these things that are taking place, it's like we have to understand that it's if you're not a believer, and of course this VFN radio is for the church, which are believers, and those that have gone astray who once were walking with God, and those that are being drawn to God, that's who we're talking to. So if a person is not a believer, they're not supposed to be in the fellowship.
Right.
Newsflash, that a church is not a building, it's people. And they can't just show up at a building and all of a sudden be the church because they're there. They have, and that's what really confuses a lot of people, because they think that, hey, I am the church because I'm a member of a church. When the reality is that are they a member of the kingdom of God?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And if they are, then they're part of the church. You just recognize what they are and relate accordingly. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to change this because the church is deathly silent in one of the most important times of American history. And it's why I think it's the most important time, personally, is because of all the technology, the ability to communicate Satan's message across the earth and how he can connect his people and his desires and what's going on in the earth and all the evilness of the world, and why the church remains silent.
Right.
It's not like it was 100 years ago.
Right.
I mean, there, you know, Hitler couldn't text nobody. He couldn't. He had to pick up an old wiry, you know, phone and work through teletyping and different things that are going on to be able to communicate messages. Now imagine if Hitler had today's technology.
Right.
I mean, the fact
that and tracking, and because his big dilemma was is that he had people, I think 14 or so attempts of people trying to overthrow him that they had given account for, and he would stop them all. And understanding that we have to realize it's not like that anymore. It is not like that anymore. It's not. Hitler is like, you know, small potatoes compared to where we are in technology. Listen, the same devil is around. The same devil that took him captive to do his will is still around. The same evilness is around. But now there's a whole new level of ability that even a simple situation can be spread instantly. And all of a sudden, you know, they use something like a video. That's what caused, you know, the ambassador's life to be taken in Libya.
Right.
But the thing about it, they knew that technology was so large that, hey, maybe we could blame it on some technology that's going on like that. Well, we got more to talk to you about in just a moment. We're going to be talking about rethinking the church. Be encouraged. Listen, there's time. Rethinking the church segments. You need to go listen to them and begin to rethink, reponder what God says about the church, because we're going to have to be the church. We're going to have to rise to the occasion, especially remember what Rick Joyner said prophetically, that if we don't do this and build our house, focus on the kingdom, which is not men's kingdom, but God's kingdom, he says no one will even survive. That's the kind of times they're about to come. We'll talk more about that in a moment. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Remember when you took your wedding vows and promised to stay together no matter what? There was a reason for that. I'm Dr. Bill Meyer for Focus on the Family. Couples don't promise to stay together because they think things will never change. They promise because they know things will change. And unless their commitment to the marriage is solid, those changes will likely lead to conflict in their relationship. Life is made up of a series of surprises and changes in direction. Nothing stays the same for very long. Jobs change, people get older, kids grow up, parents die, friends leave, and other friends take their place. Few people go through more than a few years without feeling drastic changes in the way their lives operate. Unless couples go into marriage understanding this, they're likely to struggle with each new change. That's what a wedding vow is all about. It's a promise to commit no matter what. So unless you plan to keep that promise, think twice before going to the altar. For more family advice, come see us at familyminutes.org. That's familyminute.org.
If you have not yet thought about, if you haven't thought about going to the next level in God, meaning going, learning more about God, diving into the depths of what God has for you. Listen, the Great Commission is not the great suggestion, no matter what anybody's told you. And we do answer alone, no witnesses, no suspects before the throne of God. But despite all that, you're called and designed by God. You've been given a certain measure of talents to invest in his kingdom, to be able to bring an interest, a dividend back to the king. What does that mean? Sowing your life and what God's given you into other people. If that's you, do you feel like you have a call on your life? A call on your life, and you need to see, I don't know what to do or how to do it. And what I see right now, what's happening seems kind of hard to do. They're talking like $1.3 million building projects and $1.3 million per baptized believer in the church in America. They're talking about, I said, how can I do it? Listen, that's just all religion. Be at peace. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. Simple fishermen can obey God. Find out more today at Vine Fellowship Network University. Go to vfnu.org. vfnu.org. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24-7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
We have a great way for your VFN radio listeners to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
Well, you know, we're going to be sharing this morning, of course, our nugget of wisdom. We like to be able to focus on, you know, wisdom. We always talk about wisdom. You need wisdom. You know, knowledge without wisdom is ignorance. And so, in the proverb that we're actually picking out today, from the wisdom moment, let me pull this out right here. And there's nothing like the wisdom of the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning as you're listening, driving to your work this morning, or you're taking your kids to school, or you're just kicking back and relaxing. Maybe you're listening a little bit later on the archives. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you this, that, you know, God is in love with you. He has a plan for you. He is watching you. He wants to know. You know, it says, for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord. Think about that. So many people, you know, are convinced, you know, think about this. So many people are convinced that that if man doesn't see it, then God doesn't see it. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, who, you know, who cares what man sees? It's what God sees, and God sees everything. Everything's in full view of the Lord. You know, one is a fear of man, and one is a fear of God. And we have a fear of man. With a fear of man, what happens is when men aren't around, then we would sin. We literally fall into sin, because the only thing that's keeping us from doing wrong is a man being near us or around us. And it's sort of like children, you know, when children, you know, and they're yet to grow up and be disciplined, and they're young kids, and you know, it's when their parents are around, they're acting in the cookie jar,
doing the right thing.
Yeah. And as soon as their parents, you know, go to the other room or something like that, the first thing that may cross that young child's mind is like, the cookie jar is 10 steps away. You know what I'm saying? Because mama has left the room. You know, dad has left the room. But when our ways are in full view of the Lord, we know this. You know what? And they are. That even though I'm thinking about them cookies right now, you know, that he doesn't want me to have those cookies. And so I'm not going to deny the reality that the cookies didn't cross my mind. But that's I am going to say no to the cookies by God's grace, you know, and because I know I don't want to hurt my relationship with the Lord, you know. And I mean, his grace is sufficient, but I don't want to intentionally do something. And so for a man's ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all of his paths. Oh my goodness, not only is he looking, he's going, now what was on his mind when he saw those cookies? You know, what what was he really thinking about when he didn't take the advice from his pastor? You know, what was he really thinking when he said I do or she said I do? You know, he literally examines her paths.
Oh my goodness. He's looking and he's thinking.
Yes, and he's examining them. You think about it. And so then he goes on and says this. Okay, he's everything we're doing is in full view of him. Then, you know, he examines what we're doing. First of all, I just want to say thank you, Jesus, for your finished work on the cross. Thank you for the grace of God.
Amen to that.
You know, and it's almost like you think, look at things that are being invented today. It's like everything's tracking everything. You know, everybody says there's just data being kept on everything, and they're building big storage places to be able to keep all this information that everybody's doing. And I even talked to Daphne, who was talking to Jamie. Hello, Jamie, out in Japan. And she was talking about, you know, Facebook deals with all their American issues in America, but the rest of the world issues they deal with in Ireland. They work out of Ireland, and it was just pretty interesting. And it's just like everything's, you know, and it's like this, you know what, you know, maybe God's trying to get man's attention and saying, listen, if man can gather that kind of data, you know, and everything we're doing is in full view of him, why not just be concerned about my viewpoint of this? And what it comes to is like, you know, when every man has gathered the wrong data and sinned. Right?
Yes, so true.
Yeah. And so we need Jesus. You know, we need Jesus. And what our reality does when we face this reality is that it brings us closer to the desperate reality of what Jesus did for us. And that's the reason why when you read about him and see him in our destiny is everybody's going, worthy is the lamb that was slain, you know? And nobody's trying to take center stage. You know what I'm saying? It's like, nope, it was him.
Way back here, Lord.
Yeah. And then it goes on and says, it says in 22, it says, the evil deeds of the wicked man ensnare him. You know, and you think about it, being ensnared is like, you're going along. It's not that something hits you. It's just like it just grabs a hold of you and it won't, you know, it just won't let go. It's just trying to shake and it's just and it kind of ensnared you like a net thrown over you. And then he says, the cords of his sin hold him fast. I mean, you think about it, snared and tied with cords. He will die, it goes on to say, for a lack of discipline, led astray by his own great folly. You know, you might be forgiven this morning, but you still got something tugging on you. You're totally forgiven. You know, you've asked God, you acknowledge what happened, you know, but you got these cords pulling on you, and the wisdom of God is telling you, listen, you can be forgiven, but you still can have something tugging on you because you didn't deal with the root cause of that thing happening in your life. And so you're trying to think, well, I know that I asked God to forgive me, and I know God forgives, and I know I'm forgiven, but something's still pulling on me. That old relationship, that old situation's pulling on me. I just think about it, crosses my mind, it just tugs on my heart. And what happens is there's a cord that needs to be broken. You know, a lot of people call it deliverance, but the truth is it's just cutting things out of our life, getting set free, for completely free. And the wisdom of God today, we're talking about, you know, just breaking those cords, you know, breaking all these soul ties. You know, when you think about a soul tie is your soul is what you think, what you want, and what you feel. So you can be forgiven, but then your thought life has just got something tugging on it. You know, your will's got something tugging on it. Your feelings, like, I feel, feelings are fickle, you know, and they'll just amaze. Don't go by your feelings. You know what I'm saying? Don't go by your feelings. You'll be worked over. If you're a person that goes by your feelings, you can ask people around you, they probably consider you a roller coaster ride.
up and down everywhere, huh?
Yeah, right. You know, you wonder, you understand why people, when they get older, that you say they're just so wise. But you know, one of the things that they are, they're just tired. It's just like they don't have the energy to do that anymore. You know, I like what Zig Ziglar says. He says, "I no longer schedule my life based on my calendar based on time. I schedule my life based on energy."
That's good.
Yeah, it's wisdom, right?
Yeah.
And so I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, you know, we're getting the wisdom moment this morning. You know, it's the fifth of the month. We're in the fifth chapter, and we're reading from the last part of a couple of verses in Proverbs about the cord. So you can be forgiven, but you can still be tied down. You still can have, you know, you can be ensnared by a situation. That's why you got to get totally away. You know, you got to get totally away from that person or that situation, that job, that whatever it is. It's just, you always are falling into this trap when you're around that whole situation. And I don't care if it's a religious situation. I don't care if it's whatever it is. And you got to get away from it, because look what it's doing every time you're around it. And you're thinking, how does this happen? How does it happen? Well, the wisdom of God's telling us, because it's cords. You're being ensnared. You know, you're walking into a trap. And so I encourage you this morning, you know, as the word of wisdom this morning, to be able to stay, you know, away and ask God to break those things. As a matter of fact, you can repent. God, forgive me. You can renounce, which means you're saying, you know, every legal right that you gave the adversary to torment you, because when we sin, we're giving the enemy legal right to come against us. And then you can renounce. And when you renounce, and then you can break. And when you break, you speak that out. You've already dealt with it at the cross. You've already took your legal right back. And now you're going to break every soul tie that's been tied to you. So you can repent, renounce, and break and be set free. And there's nothing like being free.
Amen.
There's nothing like being free. And if you're on this endless cycle of falling back in and falling back in, you know, you need to get close to your pastor. You need to get some wisdom and get discipled. But really, you got to repent, renounce, and break and realize you can be forgiven, but you still can be tied down.
Previously on the VFN radio program.
Well, you know, it couldn't be any more of a clearer choice. We're going to be talking about in the extra hour today, rethinking church. And the thinking is the primary word in that. And if it's in the Bible and if it's right, you can think about it all day long. Meditate on the church. Meditate on what God says about the church. And if you missed yesterday, you can go to Original Intent of the Church on the VFN Torch and on your app and listen. Begin to listen. Just dare to ask God questions. Mm-hmm. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Ask the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Don't be scared of that question.
Right.
Because if you're doing what's right, God's going to answer you through his word. This is why you're doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And if God says, finally, you ask the question, why are you doing what you're doing 15 minutes a week on Sundays?
Right.
You're asking the question. And God will answer you. And because the church is not a place to go to, the church is a people that's called out one. We're called out from the world, and we're a people, and we're a nation, a holy nation of priests and kings, and our King Jesus is over us, and we have a mission statement, and we have a direct word from the creator of the universe what we're supposed to do. So make sure you tune in the extra hour to listen to Rethinking the Church segment. And if you are nervous you're thinking, oh my goodness, I can't let anybody in my church hear this, then you need to hear it for yourself and then share it with your church and realize that if that scares you, that's a control issue, and you're feeling like you're the one that it's your kingdom and not God's.
Right.
And the way to test that out, have them stop paying you for 6 months and see if you still stay there.
Yeah, right.
Right.
And if you still stay there, I'm serious. Just to test your heart out. You don't know. To say, listen, I want everything that's due me, and you should be, there's no reason for you not to be compensated in your pastor in a church if that's what they want to do. But understand this, that you'll be able to check your heart out and to say, I don't know, just give it to a transient or something for 6 months.
Mm. Yeah.
Because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. So if your treasure is God's people, if you're overseeing God's people because you love them, then you're not going to abandon them like a hireling. You're going to stick with them. You're going to do whatever you got to do to be faithful to them. if they stop paying you and you start putting an application somewhere else, then you're hiring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is, I'm sorry. I meant rethink. We're kind of ahead of ourselves on rethinking the two environments. Hang in there now. We're there. And understand if we've gone so astray from this, we may have to just go to an extreme to put ourselves back in the right kind of mode.
Mm-hmm.
But if in fact, you know, the only reason that you're not in ministry because it doesn't pay well, if the only reason that you are where you are because it does pay, both those motives are wrong. Because the Lord didn't say, if you get paid right, if you get paid anything, go into all the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom. You know, he just said, go.
That's right.
And he also said this, you cannot serve both God and money. Mm-hmm. We talked about that yesterday. Whoever controls the economy controls the vision. Well, whoever controls your economy, sir, ma'am, mm-hmm. controls the vision. Listen, we got to get this. The economy is never going to get right in America if the church doesn't get our economy right in ourselves. We have to make our bed when it comes to the economy and our finances. Because remember, I was invited once to speak to a group of ministers, and I wasn't, you know, planning on it. I don't ever seek places to speak. You know, I'm speaking now. I just got to maintain my vocal cords. Mm-hmm. But I was there. Brother Kim was there. You know, mm-hmm. my spiritual father. He invited me to go speak, and I spoke. I just shared what was on my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared kind of about that, didn't I? I shared kind of about, you know, so you find out if they're there for the paycheck or not when they start getting paid. And I thought, and he looks at me and goes, this is good. You need to come back and do it again.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, well, great. He says, and so then later on, I'm at another meeting. I'm finding out somebody was simmering,
mm-hmm.
simmering over that statement for a long, long time.
Right.
And they were simmering because they didn't like that statement.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea. I was just sharing what God had laid on my heart, you know, and, you know, we all can know in part and prophesy in part, and we all can be wrong. But if it stirred your cookies like that much,
yeah.
you know, try 6 months without a form of receiving revenues from the ministry to just check it out. You know, I don't know, give it to a widow or something in the ones that you're responsible for. Oh, pay somebody's rent.
Yeah.
Help somebody's power bill. They're getting so large now. The power. Buy somebody's groceries, and just check your heart out and see. Because if we in leadership don't get it right, how is the flock going to get it right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why that the Catholic Church originally did not want the people to have the word, because it was way back when, was not now, but then, because the leaders were living exorbitant lifestyles, and if the common plowman and the peasants got the word of God, they would find out it's not supposed to be that way.
Right.
And so they kept it from them. And I forget the name of that. They have a whole era about a name of that era, but it was about living lavish lifestyles of the religious and the famous.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
That was very good.
And lifestyles of the religious and the famous. Join us next week. We'll show you the homes and the pools and the cars and the watches,
mm-hmm.
and more ignorance. The but the leadership doesn't get it right. So we got to rethink this. Ultimately, we're all going to, every one of us, I don't care if you're the person who can't even read the Bible because you're struggling in your ability to read, or you're the person who's teaching from the Bible, teaching it, that we're all answer alone before God.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us answer alone before God.
Right.
And so don't think about what other people think about what you're doing. Realize you're going to have to answer to God for what you did. No witnesses, no suspects. You hear me say it all the time, so I'm trying to give you a perspective so that when you do stand alone before God, you would have already went to the cross and made things right with God, because once you're standing at the throne of God, which happens the moment you're no longer standing on earth,
mm-hmm.
when you die, you're going to be standing in the presence of God, and it's going to be too late. You cannot at that point, while you're standing before God, go, I'd like Jesus, please forgive me. I mean, it's not going to work, right?
That's right.
You would have had to done it before your appointed time of death comes. So I'm not trying to give you a hard time. I'm trying to give you a destiny of eternal life and no regrets when you stand before the throne of God. And it's really not about, I mean, it's such a shallow existence if you think it's about money.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very shallow existence. I was talking to some people recently about, you know, Tozer says this. A.W. Tozer says, you know, it's about the blessed. He has a chapter in one of his books. I don't know what the name of his book is the blessedness of possessing nothing.
Right, the pursuit of God.
The pursuit of God. And one of his chapters.
Classic.
Is the blessedness of possessing nothing. I remember a particular man that had nothing. Had nothing, and even what he had was about to be taken from him.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do at all. And so he just sat and waited on God. God, I'm not gonna, and people began to say, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. He says, well, I'm going to wait on God. I'm just going to wait on God. I don't care how long it takes. I don't know. I'm just going to wait on God. Well, you're going to lose everything. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your car.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been waiting on, he's been doing it himself prior to that, and it didn't work out. So this time he's going to wait on God. We've all been there, right?
Oh, yeah.
And of course, his wife comes in there and begins to ridicule him, and, you know, we're going to lose this, we're going to lose that, and, you know, all this different kind of stuff. And because she's seeing the consequences of him waiting on God.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And this is a powerful thing to do, by the way. That when you've made all these mistakes and you've realized when God began to do something in my life, what would begun in the spirit, I did it and turned up doing it in the flesh, and I started doing it myself and kind of left God behind. And so he's waiting. And so, I don't know, after 6 months possibly.
Six months.
I don't know. It was a long period of time. it was a long period of time. God just gives him a business. Totally just glorifies his name, God's name, in his life, because they saw him wait. They saw him willing to lose everything because he wanted to hear from God. And then it ended up being over $1 million in sales on an annual basis. Makes you want to wait on God, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
But what happened was, as soon as he waited on God and God blessed him with this, then he tried to keep what he never got in the first place. And then he started talking about, you know, ways to be able, started panicking that he's going to lose his stuff, the stuff that he didn't even have in the first place. Now he's worried about losing his stuff.
Sounds like Jeroboam, huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then God required it of him. And took it from him. I mean, he could say, I willingly gave it up. Either way, it's gone.
That's right.
What happened? You know, what happened that all of a sudden, you know, when you started obeying God and it was just you and God, it was the blessed, you weren't even thinking about stuff or things, and you just loved God so much, you wanted to just do whatever he wanted. But all of a sudden, as you're walking in obedience to him, then God started giving you some things, and then it became about keeping the things. The fear of losing things. And it's like, how did your worship move from me to money? Don't you understand you can't worship them both?
Right.
How did all of a sudden you going into all the world and letting people know I love them and preaching the kingdom of God, not salvation, but preaching the kingdom of God, now you're preaching the kingdom of your building and your building program and your board of directors. You know, and all this different stuff. It's like, how did it get that way? And how come you celebrate now that somebody can be in your presence for 6 months and not even know you're the church? And you see that as a positive thing. Well, how did it get to that? What happened? Wouldn't it be better to have everything removed from our lives so we get back to the blessedness of possessing nothing? I mean, the only reason we should be holding on to things, we should do it loosely, is to be able to be faithful to God. If God gives you a Bible, hold on to it. Don't just give away your Bible. I mean, there's things that You know, you need to provide for your family. I mean, you need, don't somebody just take your house. But then again, don't worship your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God gives you a gathering place. You know, gather in it. But don't worship it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. And we got to begin to rethink, you know, what are we calling church? Because church is not a building. It's people.
Right.
If every time you ride by an address and you point at a building that nobody's in, and mm-hmm. you call that building the church, and everybody you see, you say, you need to come to our church, and or you have a pen on your blouse or your shirt that says, I love my church, and you're referring to an organization or a building, I just challenge you that something's wrong with the DNA of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if all of a sudden it was originally about people and you're willing to do anything for people, but now you're throwing people on the furnace of the debt of your building and your building plan and your organization and your programs, and you're not even thinking about them. And we know this proved positive, and I'm thankful for anybody that's doing whatever you can do for God and helping whatever level. And you got to have orphanages if you don't have parents. So orphanages are very good without having parents. We talked about the institutionalized church yesterday, so we're not going to go there. I'm not saying that's a negative thing. If you don't have a fear of the Lord, too, you need fences.
Mm-hmm.
But we have on the Event Torch where you have this large gathering in that context of a building doing a good thing, a very good mm-hmm. thing. And all of a sudden, in the context of that building, with this whole group of believers that are there, it was revealed that there's no relationships. Mm-hmm. They don't even know each other, because while they were delivering the message, somebody stood up in that crowd and began to yell at the pastor there. You're probably looking at about 2,000, 3,000 people and started coming against what he was preaching.
Right.
And so they ushered that person out and everybody's clapping. Yay. Well, you understand, they didn't know that person was even there until they stood up.
Mm-hmm.
And we dealt with that problem. And then all of a sudden another one stood up. It started yelling. This is in a building that one would call, and from traditional sense, a church. But the reality was, the church is the people that were there, but in the midst of them were wolves, but nobody even knew it. And now on the other side of the church, the group of people, I don't know about the people, all of a sudden somebody stands up and begins to do the same thing the other one did.
Mm.
And then all the sheep look that way. And they take that one out. And they think, we finally got him. And then another one stood, and another one stood, and another one stood, and another one stood, and another one stood. That is proof positive, church, that Paul said, I warned you day and night that wolves would come in amongst you with tears. I never stopped warning you. And the way that we're doing it, the way that we're fellowshipping, the way that we're gathering, if we don't even know that we're sitting right next to a wolf, they didn't even know. They were right next to somebody who was filled with demonic intentions to do damage to Israel and damage to the church. And they didn't know. And I understand why they didn't know, because that kind of system is not relational. And you can have relationships in a big building, because you can break down into smaller families and give authority to the pastors to be autonomous in the context of their following the Holy Spirit. But understand this. If Al-Qaeda stands up in the midst of your congregation, you don't even know they're there.
Mm.
Something's wrong. And then you dealt it all, and it pops up again and pops up again. Mm. Realize that you're responsible for those sheep who you didn't even know. You allowed a methodology that allowed wolves to come in amongst them. When Paul, who wrote half of the New Testament, the unction of the Holy Spirit, said, I warned you day and night they would come in, and what we're doing is allowing them to come in. We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com. I want to thank you for everybody that's joining in on our Facebook. You know, you can get to it by going to VFNTV.com, or you can go to Facebook.com/VFNTV. It's easier to go to VFNTV and click on that. But think about it. It is so cool. Every day, no matter where you are, inside the community with over 1 billion, 900 million, a billion people now, 1/6 of the world's population is in this particular community. Everybody's saying, you got a Facebook, you got a Facebook. We got a Facebook. Mm-hmm. We got a Facebook, and it's over, I don't know, it's over 5,000. It's just clicking up, and just you're joining us, and we're so excited about that because every day we're in communication. All the highlights that are on your VFN TV app, that's at VFNTV.com, is also on your Facebook, so it follows us everywhere we go. We got a virtual audience, a virtual stadium, if you would, that was being filled all around the world, and now we're in the Facebook community. Thank you, and if you have not yet, you know, go to our Facebook and like us. Go to facebook.com/VFNTV and click on like. And what does that mean? When you do that, every post that goes out on our Facebook shows up on your Facebook every single day. So mm-hmm. you can say, hey, that segment was about me. I want to be encouraged today. Maybe every day you listen to the Wisdom Moment. Maybe there's God's news behind the news and something's coming up that says, you know, I needed to know what God's perspective, the word is on that particular thing. Listen, this is the conversation that we're having together in the virtual audience of our Facebook. Go to VFNTV.com and click on our Facebook, or at VFNFacebook.com/VFNTV. Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
Oh, it definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing, and I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. There was something that came up that God spoke to me and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word. It blesses you,
exactly,
but it blesses another person. Yes. Another person is living. And
oh yeah, yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going. You know,
it's exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the Creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly, right. And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because you know we don't all hear the same way, but right. But God knows. Know how to speak to us, and,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just it's powerful. You know, it's life changing.
Yeah, when you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15. You know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen mm-hmm. instead of oh no, mm-hmm. because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen, you're called. And by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org.
Wow. At VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com. Click podcast.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. I was at the hardware store
Wait a second.
Wait. What?
Back up. Don't even go any further. What was that?
Say that again.
You were where?
You were what? You were lost?
What?
I was searching hardware on Amazon.
Exactly.
No, were you sleepwalking? I actually was at the hardware store. And
were you lost? Looking for the barber?
This has to be interesting. He wanted excitement, right?
Yeah. Well, you know.
This has to be interesting.
Well, you know, it was. They have like tools and things there and stuff. And I'm walking around looking at, they have like aisles and numbers and, you know, things that I've never been to. Anyway, I just stand there somewhere in an aisle and call the store. Hey, I'm looking for screws. Where are you? Hello. Anybody here? And yes. I'm having to find, well, no, actually, Pat and I went to the store sometime back, this hardware store. I needed a drill. I got to have a drill. And we come out, and he comes out, and he's the one that bought a drill.
I didn't get a drill.
And if you don't have a teenage son, you don't understand, but you will one day. Just plan in your future to get new tools.
Yeah, right.
And, that old thing? He's like, yes, that old thing. And so we walked out, and he came out with a real nice tool, it's drill and all that. But I realized later on, when I had to, I mean, that's a shame. There was a day that you actually screwed a screw in with the screwdriver.
With your hand.
You know, labor.
I thought about, I pondered that before this, and I thought, I'm going to go get that drill. And I didn't know. There's two things that Pat introduced to me. Well, other things we're not going to talk about. But yeah, the two things is totally.
Family program.
It's frozen. Oh, well, frozen food. I had no idea that you could actually, everything's frozen.
Frozen. Everything.
It don't matter what it is. I mean, I think his Bible
chicken
comes out of the freezer.
Anything. Just
before he abides
there.
In the morning, I think his Bible comes out of the freezer and puts it in the microwave.
It's defrosting.
I warm it up.
And the other thing was that everything, no matter what it is, if it runs on electricity, it also will run on a battery. I'm serious. Prior to God bringing us together, that when we were in the plastic fabrication business, he was a master fabricator, and I hired him to come work for me, and he organized all the inventory.
The scrap.
Yeah, until you had your own company. And I just didn't know it. And you have these drills, and you put a battery pack on. I mean, today they're commonplace, but back then, it was amazing. I mean, the battery pack was like a 15-pound battery. You know, you put a backpack or something to come around. No, but it was amazing. So you can get a battery for everything. Mm. But there's nothing like taking a cord and plugging it into a receptacle to know that you don't have to go, I can't believe this battery's not charged up.
Yeah, right.
How many times have we heard that?
Yeah, he has not been introduced to the extension cord yet. So everything's on batteries, man. As a matter of fact, you should have a battery car. You and President Obama, you know, he has a new car industry now, runs on what are the batteries? Ever-Ready's or something? The Ever-Ready car?
I don't know, but, you know, he's very, I think that'll fit you, Pat.
I can see stuck on the road somewhere. Oh, this battery wasn't charged up.
That'd be my luck.
How would that limousine move? That's what I want to know with that battery.
I
mean, you don't need
a
super duper battery for that.
He's so far back from the motor, he probably can't even hear it run. So he's probably thinking about it. Well, I do want to say that I had an epiphany.
You okay?
Yeah, it was a moment. It was a moment that when I was checking to see if my shoes were untied or not, and then I had to get a mirror to find out.
They were down there,
right. I just had to have faith that they were down there. No, it's not like that. But, you know, you just get to that point, literally. You know, this is a mounting of obstacles. There that you have to say, you know what, I am going to, by God's grace, in view of his mercy, begin to resize myself.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, well, you know, Pat's just challenging this, isn't he, Chris? I mean, he's coming in here. He squeaks when he walks now. You know, he's like running in place while we're on the radio, just trying to just sweat things off. And it's like, you're really making this feel really bad.
Really bad.
Really, really, really bad. When he eats, he's like a quarter of a sandwich or something with a piece of lettuce on it or something. Right. He chews on it really long.
I know, I've seen the size of those sandwiches, but they are.
How does that work? We eat less.
I know it. You know? And he's like, he eats. I can't tell you how many times a day he eats.
But come on.
It's a lot. He eats way more.
But if you add
it
all up, it's, you know, it's insignificant.
It must be. And Chris and I are deceiving ourselves somewhere along the line.
Somewhere I'm lost.
Trying to figure this out, you know. Somebody says, well, I eat salad bars. Have you seen the salad bar lately?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's like, anyway. So, I appreciate all your prayers out there as I take this journey of following the doctor's orders, which you probably heard years ago when I talked about it. I've decided now is the time. What happened, instead of losing that weight, I just lost the doctor.
Got me another one.
Yeah, well, actually, I did. I didn't do it intentionally. I mean, he got transferred, and I have a new doctor. He's a good doctor. He just came back from being in Afghanistan, serving over there, and he's back. He's a good doc. And the way I work things out with him is I just don't go see him, and therefore everything's
okay.
You don't get any medical advice at all. It's amazing how that works. Yeah, I'm fine. So I got this little app now that you can measure the calories, how many calories you're eating, because you got to stay under a certain amount of calories, according to Pat, to be able to lose weight, like 3 calories a day, something like that.
Well, a little bit more than that.
4. And and so you got to write down, you just have to write down, I guess, the calories that you would eat or ingest. And really, I mean, obviously from my history, you know, I got a chance in the past to work with a trainer that way past, and ignorantly, we don't know about our food. We just don't know what we're eating, because sometimes we're eating stuff and we're thinking, what's the big deal? This is just ice cream. and we don't realize how many calories are in like cheese or something, or tater chips sprinkled over cheese. Tater chips are evil.
They are very
calories.
They're terrible.
And if you have a chip in your mouth right now, Jesus loves you.
Lay it
don't
down.
Worry about it.
Step
it
away
put it
from
down.
The bag.
Step away from the bag. Put it down. And you're only lying to yourself. And believe it or not, don't eat chips. So you count your calories, and so you would have to write that down. But now they have an app for that. And you just... You point it at yourself, take a picture, and it says, you're fat. No.
You scan yourself.
You scan yourself. which it's like, oh, my goodness. You got to be careful. You never know what these phones are going to do. It's totally amazing. So I just have, if there's any, anyway. So the, but, you know, I remember this app, you know, years ago when it was first getting started. It had an abacus thing in it and stuff to be able to slide little stones over when you'd eat something. But now it's so efficient that if you have a barcode on the side of a package, what you're about to eat, you just snap it and it knows what you're eating.
Yep.
And it, you know, what, how many you're eating of that stuff, which is great, because that's the big thing, is trying to take the time to write that stuff down.
Exactly.
And so I started and embarked on this journey. So if I want to find out what's happening with Eddie, I know Eddie's on insanity. He's doing the insanity thing.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. I mean, he's been real quiet about it, but we'll see soon.
We will.
We'll see soon when he's on the beaches down here. He's like, how's the insanity going? You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.